the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From this pericope from the Gospel of Mark, we see the necessity of the reality of isolation with Christ. That is to say, Christ pulling the apostles out of all of the requirements of their work to be with him. Remember, this comes right on the heels of what we heard in last week's gospel, where he's sending the apostles out. That's what apostle means from the Greek, one who is sent. And only the priests are the ones that are truly sent. Hence, all Catholics are disciples, but only those of us who are ordained are apostles. And we as priests only share in the work of the successors of the apostles, who are the bishops. And so the basis of the Catholic life then must be that dynamic, that going into the desert with the Christ. And so in a way, we see the reality of how that translates with regards to vocation. Because the Lord teaches them many things, even though they are many, even though, and this comes just before our Lord in the Gospel of Mark will work the multiplication of loaves and fishes. But even before he feeds them, he teaches them. More important for them to know, will follows understanding. The more you understand, the more you have the will to follow the Christ, to be a true disciple. And our Lord proves that discipleship requires effort. That is to say, he sends the apostles out, but what is the work of the apostles? They were casting out demons. They were healing the sick. Why? So that the individuals could go to Christ. And Christ does not make it easy. Too many people want it to be easy. It cannot be easy, especially for those we claim to love. We want what is best for them, the higher standard. And so therefore, the Christ requires that the people who have heard from the apostles who were sent by Christ, who now come to Christ after seeing the work the apostles did in our Lord's name, they come to see Christ. They come to the desert. They leave the towns and villages. They make an effort. And our Lord doesn't even make it easy then, because then our Lord pulls the apostles back even more and takes them across the Sea of Tiberias. And the people still make the effort to go on the shore and make their way around to the other side so that they can meet Jesus there. That's true faith. It requires and mandates action. And too many Catholics today have a conviction that Jesus is a pizza delivery boy who brings himself when it's convenient and asks nothing of us. It's just at our beck and call. It is not true. And this conviction, this belief, comes from the fact that people do not understand the whole notion of vocation. Vocation. Too many Catholics do not live out the vocation they're in. Too many young Catholics do not actually consider the vocation for what it is. What's a vocation? It's a state in life, a particular state in life, that God Himself has destined for each individual. And it is a state in life that God has destined for each individual that is imbued with proportionate graces that make it possible to live out that vocation. And it's imbued with proportionate graces so that it actually makes salvation easier. Yes, your vocation makes your salvation easier. Unless, of course, you choose not to live out your vocation. Or if you're a young person, unless you choose the wrong vocation. How do you know you chose the wrong vocation? Or how do you know you've taken the wrong course within your vocation? Because after all, that's two possibilities. Either you've chosen the wrong vocation, or you're simply not living it out, and therefore God is resisting your pride and not giving you the necessary graces that allow you to live the life, so you're on the wrong course within your vocation. What are the signs? You're miserable. You're miserable all your life if either A, you've chosen the wrong vocation, or B, you're not living it out. You're not living a life that is geared towards the Christ. You're living a life that's geared towards yourself, and automatically you're miserable because of it. You're miserable. You become a disjointed member of the mystical body of Christ, a disjointed member that is suffering, and therefore makes the whole body suffer because it's suffering. When you're in the wrong vocation or you're not living out your vocation to its fullness, you're usually miserable and you're making other people's lives miserable. You're always negative, you're always complaining, you're always speaking ill of things or speaking ill of others because you are simply miserable. And again, if you're in the vocation of the holy sacrament of matrimony, that typically means you're simply not living out the vocation. So don't go run home and tell your spouse that you should have been a priest or a religious. But the reality is you're probably not living out your vocation. You're not cooperating with God's grace. And therefore, you're suffering and you're causing your spouse to suffer, or your spouse isn't cooperating with grace to make things better for you, to actually help you get to heaven, whatever the case may be. You're a disjointed member of the mystical body, and you, because you're a disjointed, suffering member, you're trying to make the whole body suffer along with you. And indeed, the body is disjointed. One of the things the devil said he would do to destroy the good work of the Franciscans was to get men who did not have vocations to become Franciscan friars. And it worked. The Franciscans are not what they used to be. Priesthood is not what it used to be, because there are too many men in it that do not have vocations to the priesthood. They have vocations to social work, or they have vocations to other things, but not to the real life of sacrifice. If you take the wrong course by either A, a young person, if you choose the wrong vocation, this will happen to you, or B, if you're in your vocation and you're not cooperating with grace, You are a straying traveler all your life. You're constantly restless. You know no peace. You're only tired. You're only weary. And you're aware that you will never, never arrive at the destination you supposedly set out for and going towards. You'll never find it. Because if you're not cooperating with grace and self-centered, that's not what the vocation of holy matrimony is about. And if you're a young person who's running from your vocation to the priesthood or religious life, you'll never find a real sense of fulfillment and mission in the sacrament of holy matrimony, because God does not intend it for you. And you'll be like that wayward traveler who never arrives at his destination, always restless, always wondering. You'll be like some of the great masters say this, and I've had people argue this point with me, but if greater minds than mine in the church have said it, if you're in the wrong vocation, you will not make it to heaven. You won't. You will be like a fish out of water that writhes and pants until it dies. Because God gives you the necessary graces in the life he has chosen for you. And so many people love to change their minds, and so many people lack a sense of commitment that I've had actually people argue with me that, it's not so bad if you're in the wrong vocation. But how could it be good if God intended for you to do one thing and you did not follow God's will, and therefore God will not give you the graces to live in a vocation that's not right for you because your pride put you in that vocation? How could you have the grace to cooperate with it to save your soul? Logically, you can't. That's why discernment of a vocation is so important. And too many young people don't do it. How do you discern your vocation? And this would go for those of you who are in marriage, you may be having trouble. You need to reevaluate how you're not living out your vocation. It's not that you're in the wrong vocation, it's that you're not living it out. First and foremost, you pray for the grace to know. You pray for the grace to know your vocation. Too many young people won't do that because they're afraid of what God will say. A young man's afraid because God will say, I want you to be a priest, so he won't touch it. A young maiden will say, she's not going to pray because God will say to her, I want you to be a religious. And yet nobody tells me that they prayed about the sacrament of holy matrimony. Very rarely do I get that from people I prepare for marriage. I prayed and I asked God and he said I should be married to this woman. Too many people get married because they make their spouse the Messiah. I'm going to live for my spouse. I'm going to make my spouse happy. My spouse makes me happy. I love my spouse and it's all about my spouse. No. As soon as your spouse is more important than Christ, and even before then, when you are in courtship, if they become more important than Christ, get out. Because you've made them an idol, and you'll destroy them and yourself. Get out. Run like the wind. Therein lies the key to discernment, knowing God's will first. Pray to have the grace to know what God wants you to do. And if you're in marriage and you're doubting and you're fearing and it's out of control, or if you're a widow or if you're single, pray to know what God's will for you is in the here and now. If you're young, seek the counsel of faithful parents. And I stress faithful. Too many of us as priests can tell you there are too many parents out there who loathe the idea of their sons becoming priests. There's a higher number of Catholic parents who loathe the idea of their sons becoming priests. I know seminarians whose parents hate the idea that they're in seminary. Common sense would say, a Catholic hating the idea of their son becoming a priest? Well, too many Catholic parents are faithless, and they live for the world and not for Christ. Therefore, they don't want their sons to live for Christ. They want their sons to have a better life. They want their sons to be rich and powerful. They want their sons to be happy. And so therefore they don't promote it. So you can only seek the counsel of faithful parents, not faithless parents. They won't help you. They'll lead you astray. You need to get a job that's going to make money, that's going to make you happy. Money doesn't make you happy. But only seek the counsel of faithful parents and seek the counsel of a faithful priest or confessor. That's how you really become to know your vocation. By actually seeking God first, God tells your vocation, then your parents, if they're faithful, will ratify it, and then the priest will guarantee it. But furthermore, the Church, in her infinite wisdom, has recommended greater minds than mine about mature discovery of vocation. And this would apply to even those who are in their vocation now, to give consideration to what they're doing. You have to ask yourself some serious questions. If you're a young person, ask yourself seriously. What is the state in life which, considering your strengths and weaknesses, that you can most easily save your soul? Believe it or not, that is the fundamental notion in the call to the sacrament of holy matrimony. Will marrying this person save my soul? Will that person cooperate with God's grace to lead me to holiness? Or will that person lead me astray? Or will that person be so selfish and self-absorbed that they make my life complicated and difficult and become an occasion to sin? Imagine if both spouses, when they discern the sacrament of holy matrimony, discern the fact that you're getting into this with this person because you know that person will make it easier for you to save your soul. Think of it. Your spouse is supposed to be making your life easy to save your soul. And to save your soul does not mean you do it by your own power. It means you do it by cooperating with God's grace. Graces, by the way, that are proportional to your state in life. Hence the marital graces, which are profound and strong enough to make you, yes, as I constantly remind you, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Marriage is not about you. It's about us. That is to say, husband and wife and family. Get over yourself. Because once you get over the pride, the graces will flow immeasurably. And then you'll so easily die to yourself that you will become the one who makes it easy for your spouse to get to heaven. You will make it easier. But if you're obsessed with yourself, you're going to trip yourself up, your children, and especially your spouse. Get over yourself. You think you can't? Oh, you can by grace. You're right. We're all totally self-absorbed and selfish without grace. But with grace, you can overcome everything. So if you're a young person discerning a vocation, especially to marriage, realize that if it's all about, I love my girlfriend and I want to live the rest of my life with her, you're an idiot. Because you've made her the Messiah. You think that she's going to save your soul. She's not. Only Christ saves souls. Therefore, if this person draws you one inch away from Christ, one centimeter into sin, get away. Because they will destroy you in themselves. With all those things considered by young people who are pondering marriage, I wonder. All they talk about typically is love and how they feel good about the other, and maybe even some ideas about the salvation of their soul by virtue of the fact that I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But it's never really about what Jesus actually said, what our Lord actually wants. And is it about getting to heaven? Ask yourself, what would I wish I would have done with my life were I at the moment of death? Hard for a young person to do. But in discerning a vocation, ask yourself, at the moment of death, what would I have wanted to have done with my life in service to God? And if you're already in your vocation and you have more yesterdays and tomorrows, it's easier to do this and probably more necessary. What would I have done with my marriage if I were on my deathbed? What would I wish I would have done differently? Because you can start now doing it differently if you know you haven't done it well. And if you ponder up to the point where you are about to make an account of Christ, to Christ rather, at the judgment seat, and he's going to show you your married life and what you actually did and how it was all about you, and how difficult and hard you made things on your spouse, all because you couldn't get over yourself, now's the time to think. If I were about to face Christ, what would I have wished I would have done with my marriage? How do I wish I would have cooperated with grace? Because you can now do it just by that awareness, just by the cooperation with grace, just by the reception of the Blessed Sacrament. It can all change. Discernment, ever so important. Ask yourself, what answer would I give to someone in my position who had similar strengths and weaknesses if he were to consult me about his vocation? For a lot of young people, it's easier for them to say, you ought to consider being a priest. For young men, it's easier to say that than oftentimes to hear that that's what God actually wants of them. Even though they hear Father say it time and time again, they don't necessarily believe Father, which is intriguing. There's something about the reality of, if you see someone else who is similar to you, and you would advise them to become a priest, a religious, or you'd advise them to marriage, that's the Lord indicating to you what your vocation is, if they have similar traits like you and similar understandings like you. It could be an indication that what you advise them to do is what you yourself should be doing. This reality of vocation, this state that God puts us in, a state that God wants for us, rather, and our free will puts us in, where God gives us proportionate graces, it literally makes salvation easier. The only reason it becomes hard and difficult is because we make it hard and difficult. Why do we do that? Selfishness and pride, of course. We all have one primary vocation, and that can be seen by the virtue of the fact of what we see in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. After our Lord clears the temple in the Gospel of Luke, which is the gospel we heard this morning in the extraordinary form, he starts teaching in the temple. And this was an indication that from here on out, he will not do any more teaching except in the temple. Why? Because he's about to make the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of himself. And the temple is a place of sacrifice. And yet the temple will be the final reality in the sense that Christ will fulfill it. So the final reality for the Jews is the temple. And it was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans for a reason. So Christ teaches from the Mass. Every single one of us has one primary vocation, and that is to be here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Because it is here we see charity himself. It is here we see the reality of self-sacrifice. It is here we see the reality of a life lived profoundly and authentically. It is here that Christ gives us himself, body, blood, soul, divinity. It is here that Christ gives us manifold graces. It is here that Christ opens our minds to the reality of life with him. Every single vocation should be rooted in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is why every single sacrament of the living is done in the context of Mass. Marriage happens in both forms of the rite, either right before Mass and the Eucharist is tied to it, or during Mass in the modern rite and the Eucharist is tied to it. You discover your vocation here at the Mass because you discover Christ. And you realize that Christ is about the salvation of your soul. You realize the awful power of sin and death. And yes, the awful power of pride and selfishness. And Christ shows you what it looks like, how liberating, how freeing, how loving it is to give of yourself in totality. We all have that primary vocation to be here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And that means to really participate. Not count the light fixtures. Not, dare I say, constantly wrestle with your children. Because there should be an aura, an awareness of what's going on here that's different than any other part of your life. And yes, your children should be disciplined enough to want to pay attention, even if they don't understand. And they'll do so by your paying attention. They'll do so by your devotion. Obviously, not every week, but for the most part. And as they get older, they'll see that this is important because you treat it as important. And then you treat it as important because you're not distracted by everything else, because you know you need to be here, and you know every ritual action speaks volumes about Christ and about you. So give thought to your vocation, where it is now, and for those who are young, where it ought to be. And think about how you can discover the truth of your life by being here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Before Christ fed the crowds he had compassion for, he taught them. And he taught them how to be in life with him. And he does the same for you at Mass. You'll find your fulfillment in life, first and foremost here, and then by living it out there in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.